Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It was one of the highlights of my 2020 season. Kurt Warner, the Hall of Famer, on the show, which was great. And then we got to tease him about the fact that I stole his pork rinds gig. And he says he's going to try to steal it back. So we're hoping that we can line up Kurt Warner as well as some other Hall of Famers and movers and shakers in the football industry during our Super Bowl week. It's not going to be the same as what we normally do. I won't be able to take photos on Radio Row with the Old Spice horse. You remember last year in Miami? About a year ago. Gosh, it feels like eons ago. But my big goal of the entire week on Radio Row was to take a video and a photo with the Old Spice horse who was there every day. And we did all kinds of other fun stuff. We had some great interviews. The McCourty twins, who were dressed identically. Yes, they do look identical. And they swore they were not punking me. And they sat in the seats where I would know which one was which. So much fun to always be on site. And I remember this time last year, of course, China was already in the throes of their virus outbreak. And there wasn't a whole lot that had made its way to the United States. No identified cases at that point. In fact, a lot of places around the globe hadn't seen their first cases. Italy was starting to get an outbreak. And I just remember the talk in Miami about, hey, have you heard about this virus? And at that point, the Radio Row was hopping. And all the Hall of Famers were out sporting their gold jackets, and you had players. And I remember Ron Rivera was there doing interviews on Radio Row one day. And it's usually one of the highlights of the year, because as a talk show host, to be able to go on site and have access and network with people that you normally don't have access to is such a great boost. And it's a culmination of all the hard work during the football season. This year, the interviews will be done virtually. I'll be doing them from home in the afternoons. So we've opened up some windows each day where we're trying to schedule interviews, and producer Dave and I are working hard on that. So we hope to have some really good guests, ones that we don't normally have access to, but it won't quite be the same as the excitement and the activity and the goofiness generally, because it's me, of Radio Row. And I feel bad for Tampa, because generally having a Super Bowl in your city is a major economic boost. And gosh, what city doesn't need an economic boost right now? There will be limited fans at the game in Tampa, but very few media people, and the hotels won't be in use as much. The restaurants, you won't see the surge and the influx of media people. Usually it's thousands and thousands and thousands of people between media and the special guests, as well as those who are there for hospitality or to work the game, the volunteers, the vendors. There's usually a just like mass influx of people and bodies, but obviously that's not possible this year. So I hope that maybe down the road at some point, Tampa will see another full service Super Bowl. But there will be a game regardless, and this championship weekend is the last stop before Super Bowl 55 in Tampa. We put up an unfair poll. I'll just admit it. It's not fair, but life is not fair. So I expect you to man or woman up, cowboy up, cowgirl up, baby. Which of these championship games would you watch if you could only watch one? Thankfully, this is a hypothetical, because, you know, ultimatums never work. They're usually death to a relationship. So we don't want this to be death to our great relationship that we've developed here on the show. Just take the poll for fun. And also, if you would like to tell us what your championship food will be on Sunday, your championship fare, that's great. I'm going loaded baked potato soup. It's got broccoli and bacon and cheese and sour cream. It sounds very healthy, doesn't it? And then chocolate chip cookies, because chocolate chip cookies go with everything. What what championship is not enhanced by chocolate chip cookies? So find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our toll-free line is 855-212-4227. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Rocket Mortgage is giving away millions during Super Bowl 55 with the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl Squares Sweepstakes. See rules and enter for free today at rocketmortgagesquares.com. I like the free. The most I've ever paid for a Super Bowl square is $10 a pop. We have a newsroom group that's we're donating, of course. We're donating money to charity. And we're purchasing these Super Bowl squares, and I think they're $20 a pop. Producer Dave informed me that he had to split with a person before when the squares were $100 a pop. That's too rich for my blood. Today is payday for us here at CBS Sports Radio, for which I'm always grateful. It's good to be able to pay the bills, pay the, I almost said rent, pay the mortgage, woohoo! But I am not the kind of person who can put $100 on a square. That's a lot of money. That is almost four tanks of gas for me. I cannot put down $100. Does that make me cheap? Maybe it does. Frugal?
No. Smart with money.
It's fun for sure, and it gives you a little extra of an adrenaline rush when you have money on the game. But this is why I could never be a gambler, because I cannot lose. I do not lose gracefully. I just, that's not a skill or a gift that I have.
You have to have a number. Not that we're going to turn you into a gambler, but you have to have a number.
Not on a radio salary, we're not.
Amount of money that you're comfortable with if you threw it out the window, you never saw it again or flushed it down the toilet, you'd be okay with it.
What's your number?
Well, with $50 being the odds to win, you know, a lot more than that, I'm okay with.
Okay.
And on a regular day, I'm not taking 50s and throwing them out the window. But you know what I mean.
So this year, I participated in a fantasy football league that was $100 to enter. And I'll tell you, if not for the fact that it was Cynthia Freeland of the NFL Network who invited me to be part of it, and because I wanted so badly to be in a league, I really, you know, had, I thought I was going to miss it. It was at the last second. But if it wasn't Cynthia, my apologies to you, but if you had asked me to be in a fantasy football league and said it's $100, I probably would have said thanks, but I'm going to be a little more careful with my money this year. Cynthia asked me, she's my girl, and so I did it. But it wasn't easy to part with that $100. I won the consolation bracket, but that did not earn me the big fat prize. So it's painful to throw $100 out the window. It was fun, though. I did enjoy the experience. I try to remind myself I paid $100 for entertainment. You know what really sucks is when you pay $30, $50 to enter a survivor pool, and then you're out in the first week. That is far more, infinitely more painful, which is why I will never do it again. That's it. I can't. I suck at those. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. How much have you ever paid to enter a survivor pool or a Super Bowl sweepstakes, the squares game? Thankfully, Rocket Mortgage is free, but I bet some of you out there have dropped a grand or more. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. Now, coming up in 10 minutes, the many voices, the many faces, the many approaches, the many introductory press conferences of the brand new coaches in the NFL. And boy, are they different. From Dan Campbell in Detroit, who certainly left his mark, his first impression, if you will, to Brandon Staley, who probably had to write things down because he's not used to giving these types of speeches, to Robert Saleh, who impressed me even before he opened his mouth because of his green shirt. Not a lot of guys out there opt for green shirts, but it's gangrene, and he is now the leader of gangrene, and he dressed the part. So we're going to hear from each of these coaches, and we'll kind of put them all together in a montage so that you can hear how different they are. If you can listen to Dan Campbell and not either make a face or laugh out loud, I will be really impressed, because we have not been able to do that yet here on the show. He harkens back to the days of The Sopranos. Or The Godfather, which is a movie I've never seen, but, you know, it's on my list. So you'll hear from these new head coaches. We're still waiting on the Houston job. That's the only one that's left. And we had a really good conversation with Shireen Williams of Pro Football Talk earlier in the show. I hope that you'll check it out. It's part of our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. And she went right away to Eric Bieniemy, and what a surprise it is that he has not yet secured a job. He is in the running in Houston, and that's good to know. I'm glad that there's one job out there that he may very well end up with, and it seems like Houston is waiting, or at least considering him. We know Deshaun Watson wanted them to interview Eric Bieniemy, but a lot of you have said to me, are we sure he wants the job? Maybe he doesn't want the job. Or others of you have said, oh, the rumors are he doesn't interview well. Yeah. All you had to do was hear Eric Bieniemy talking on Thursday with a smile on his face, with grace and with class, to recognize neither one of those things is an obstacle.
It's always good to be mentioned and having an opportunity to pursue your dreams. And obviously, yes, I do want to be a head coach. But when it's all said and done with, my job is to make sure everything that we're doing right now is not to take away from the goals that we're trying to accomplish. The only thing that matters today, we got better. Okay, today we had an opportunity to make sure we can take care of situational football as far as short yardage, goal line, and our third down situations. So now it's time for us to go back in and chop wood, watch this tape, and get ready for the next day. We want to make sure that we're getting our guys ready to make sure they can take care of business on Sunday. My own personal business, when all that's time to take care of itself, that will take care of itself.
Anything about what you hear with Eric Bieniemy make you feel like he's not a good communicator, or he can't answer questions, or he doesn't speak well? Are you kidding me? I want Eric Bieniemy to be my head coach. And all of the guys who played for him or with him, not to mention Andy Reid, who's been his boss now for the better part of a decade, all of them tell you that he commands respect. He communicates well. Those are actually two of his very strong qualities as a head coach. And he not only puts it out there, yes, I want to pursue my dreams. Yes, I want to be a head coach. But he is so gracious in kind of balancing the two things. I've got a job to do here.
And go back in and chop wood.
Chop wood. Chop some wood, baby. I mean, I want him to be my head coach. Can we make a switch? No, that's not fair. We've got a head coach for my team. But I think that he deserves an opportunity. His resume speaks for itself with Patrick Mahomes, with the Kansas City offense. He's done his due diligence, right? He spent nearly a decade in Kansas City, but before that, he spent some time in Minnesota as a running backs coach. He's worked in college at both UCLA and Colorado at various levels. This guy's paid his dues. And if I don't really know why it is that he hasn't yet been offered a job. But if it's because the Chiefs are still in the running, to me, that should be a validation of the work he does, not a knock on him as a head coach. So he's still in the running in Houston. We haven't yet heard from the Texans. But after what happened with the Eagles and this surprise announcement with them on Thursday, I don't know. I'm wondering a little bit if teams just aren't willing to be patient. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. If you hadn't heard, Howie Roseman made the announcement that Nick Sirianni will be the next head coach in Philadelphia. Now, Nick Sirianni has worked on Frank Reich's staff now for a couple of years, and he's worked with multiple elite quarterbacks, but let's not go that far. He's worked with Andrew Luck, who, had he stayed in the game, I think would have been on the fast track for the Hall of Fame. If you believe Philip Rivers is a Hall of Famer, great. If you don't, great. But he's still top five in passing yards and passing touchdowns and had a really strong season with the Colts this year. But I'm not sure any of that matters. With Nick Sirianni, I think what matters is that he's the guy they think might entice Carson Wentz to stick around and to be okay with the Eagles, to kind of let bygones be bygones with Doug Peterson and start fresh. And so for the Colts, while a lot of what you hear about is Frank Reich because he was a quarterback himself and because he's the head coach, Sirianni has been his right-hand man when it comes to the offense. And also has spent time with the Chargers. So, you know, he and Reich have worked together for a few years with a couple of different organizations. we know about the relationship between Reich and Carson Wentz, which is why a lot of people have said, hey, Wentz might be the next quarterback in Indianapolis. If the Eagles are willing to part with him, it's a massive cap hit. But if he can be pried away from Philadelphia, Indy feels like a good landing spot. And honestly, if I'm Carson Wentz, I'd probably feel the same way. But in lieu of that, the Eagles bring in Sirianni. Now, again, I'm not telling you he's not qualified or that he can't be a good head coach, but when was the last time you heard his name? I've heard more about the Colts defensive coordinator being a candidate than I ever did about Sirianni. The first time I heard his name was yesterday, and I don't mean heard his name ever in the NFL, but the first time I heard his name as part of any coaching opening was yesterday. So this to me feels like a pretty blatant attempt to find someone that Carson Wentz, A, wants to work with, B, has some ties with, kind of through Frank Reich, but C, will get him to change his mind about the Eagles. I don't know if that's the number one reason why Doug Peterson was fired. I mean, you know, the line that we got from the Eagles owner, Jeffrey Lurie, is that they weren't really on the same page, that the philosophies didn't line up as to how Doug would fix the problems that ail the Eagles. But you got to imagine that a lot of that revolves around Carson Wentz and what the team should do at quarterback moving forward. Well, this is the Eagles trying to smooth things over with Carson Wentz and get him back on the track where he was in his first couple years in the league. I don't know what this means for Jalen Hurts. I have no idea. But it's clear that the Eagles are not willing to give up on Carson Wentz and throw in that towel yet. At least to me. Maybe I'm reading it wrong, but this is what it feels like. You can't have Frank Reich. Well, let's get Nick Sirianni, his offensive coordinator. So that's interesting. And then there was one. But think about the names that have filled these head coaching jobs. Dan Campbell. Tell me you saw that coming. Brandon Staley, nobody saw that coming. Robert Saleh, yes. At least he was one that people were talking about as a good candidate before this process started. Nick Sirianni, They may all turn out to be the next Kevin Stefanski. Maybe they all have great success initially. But man... This is not the hiring season or the hiring process that I thought would play out the way that it did. It's fascinating sometimes what happens in professional sports and in the NFL. All right, coming up, you'll hear from the three who were introduced on Thursday. They all sound very different.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. Hungry for a taste of the most delicious audio of the night? You came to the right place. It's time for Bite Me with Amy Lawrence. Here's Amy Lawrence.
Thursday was Get to Know Your New NFL Head Coaching Day. Three of them introduced, bang, 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 and they all sound very, very different. I could make you guess, but that's probably not as much fun. The New York Jets had one winning season in the last decade, and that was actually the Ryan Fitzpatrick year, first year with Todd Bowles. They come a win shy of making the playoffs, but since then, it's been pretty brutal. So they're changing coaches again, right? Adam Gase experiment didn't last, it didn't work, and now it's Robert Saleh, who by all accounts brings energy and fire, intensity. He commands the room, certainly knows how to coach up a defense and get the best out of his players. He comes with not just a high pedigree, but with high praise. I like the fact that he was wearing a green shirt underneath his suit coat and tie when he was introduced on Thursday.
Get used to the mantra, all gas, no break. When we talk about all gas, no break, we're not talking about effort on the field. We're talking about the process at which we do things. We're talking about the way we prepare, the way we wake up every single morning, the way we rehab, the way we communicate, the way we speak to one another. Cannot tell you enough about how excited I am to work with this entire Jets organization and understanding that when we wake up in the morning, we will all, from top down, step on the pedal and find a way to get somewhat better than we were when we woke up.
I like all of the car analogies, especially since I drive it like I stole it. So Robert Saleh is speaking my language. All gas, no brakes, baby. Now, what about Sam Darnold? Because that, even though he came from the defensive side of the ball, well, with the Niners, he's been on the offensive side of the ball before. Actually, wasn't he a tight end? So he certainly understands offense. But the biggest question for the Jets is Sam Darnold versus that number two pick. What do you do at quarterback?
There's a reason why he was the number three pick in the draft. He's fearless in the pocket. He's got a natural throwing motion. He's mobile. He's extremely intelligent and like he's tough as nails. His reputation in the locker room is unquestioned, and so just that in general, there's a reason why he was the third pick in the draft, and you can see all those qualities on tape and around the building and the way people speak about him.
There's a lot of good things to like about Sam Darnold, but that doesn't answer the question of whether or not Darnold will be the quarterback for the Jets moving forward. So he obviously is not going to answer that question. But I already like what I've heard from Robert Saleh. We didn't hear a lot from him when he was the DC in San Francisco, though more because they went to the Super Bowl, and obviously he was a major part of that, and Kyle Shanahan speaks so highly of him. But gosh, I feel like this is a new era for the Jets, and this franchise that's been down for so long and been the butt of many NFL jokes. I rooted for them to get their first win. It was amazing. I celebrated with them, even with Adam Gase. And now I think Robert Saleh could be the right guy to turn this ship around. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I said ship with a P. just to make sure you heard me correctly. All right, so let's then go to Los Angeles and the Chargers, where Brian Daboll was connected to this Chargers job because of Justin Herbert, but potentially was hurt by the fact that the Bills are still playing. It's kind of a tough price to pay. Instead, the Chargers, they go across the hall and they pluck the defensive coordinator from the Rams. After 1 year, Brandon Staley will take over as the head coach in Los Angeles, and he's pretty vanilla, maybe because he hasn't had a whole lot of time to practice in front of the mirror.
The foundation for our team will start with relationships. That will be number one. And the second thing will be competition. Players, coaches, staff, fans, together, we can create something truly special. Each and every day, the Chargers need to be on a mission. A mission to create something challenging, competitive, impactful, where people within our team can become their best. Our players in the present, our players from the past, our fans, the city of Los Angeles, you are what makes this team so special. And we're gonna do everything we can moving forward to make you proud. It's an honor to represent you. Bolt up. My family and I are so excited to be here.
Congratulations to Brandon Staley. You want to talk about a meteoric rise. It's similar to, say, a Matt LaFleur. And this, or Zach Taylor would probably be another great example. This Sean McVay coaching tree is launching baby coaches all over the league. And I'm not saying it isn't going to work. It very well could work. It's just an interesting tack by the Los Angeles Chargers, who certainly had local ties with both Brian Daboll and Eric Bieniemy and didn't go either direction. Maybe he is the next hot young hot young coach in the NFL ranks, and he follows in McVay's footsteps. But just in general, you wonder of these, well, six coaches that we know of so far, how many of them will last 3 years, 4 years, 5 years? Because there's always attrition. There's always guys that don't make it in their first time through. Maybe Staley surprises a lot of people, but there certainly have been eyebrows raised over his hiring. I think Dan Campbell is in the same boat coming out of the Saints organization and getting this job in Detroit. Now, he also has local ties because he played there, but I don't think that that's the eyebrow-raising part anymore. No, it's the way he introduced himself to the peeps on Thursday.
This place has been kicked, it's been battered, it's been bruised, and I can sit up here and give you coach speak all day long. I can give you, hey, we're going to win this many games. I can't, but none of that matters, and you guys don't want to hear it anyway. You've had enough of that So excuse my language. All right. Here's what I do know is that this team is going to take on the identity of this city. All right. And the city's been down, and it found a way to get up. All right. It's found a way to overcome adversity.
Let's dispense with the flowery language. That resonates with me. Falling down, getting back up, battered, bruised. We survived. We're going to take on the identity of our city. And I've heard from some Lions fans who think that that is exactly what the franchise and the fan base needed to hear. But he didn't stop there. He got a little off the beaten path and maybe start thinking about Sopranos and the Italian mob.
We're going to kick you in the teeth. All right. And when you punch us back, we're going to smile at you. And when you knock us down, we're going to get up. And on the way up, we're going to bite a kneecap off. Ah. All right. And we're going to stand up. And then it's going to take two more shots to knock us down. All right. And on the way up, we're going to take your other kneecap and we're going to get up. And then it's going to take three shots to get us down. And when we do, we're going to take another hunk out of you. Before long, we're going to be the last one standing. All right. That's going to be the mentality.
Wait, in our politically correct climate, I feel like that's probably offended a lot of people. Kneecap biting? I've never heard that before. I've heard taking a guy out at the kneecaps. You know, I am Italian and all. But I've never heard of kneecap biting. Is that some kind of weird social media fetish that I just don't know about? Is that what the cool kids do, Producer Dave?
Oh, no. No. This is off the beaten path, and that's putting it nicely.
Is Brad Heller with us this morning?
Yes.
Brad Heller, have you ever bit someone's kneecap?
Not on purpose or by accident or ever.
The imagery, though, I kind of feel like it's pretty powerful for a new head coach.
Hey, anything goes in the NFL, you know. You're in the trenches. You think about, like, a loose ball and a fumble, what goes on in the pile. You know what? Maybe that's going to be a new tactic to try and get the ball, pry it away.
I mean, no one's ever going to forget Dan Campbell's first impression, that's for sure. Well, good morning to you, Brad. Thanks so much for being with us early, always.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Josh in shotgun, second and goal at the three. The snap, the pass, it is caught by Diggs. Gets a few blocks and he goes into the end zone. He is in. Touchdown, Buffalo. What a well-executed play that was. 3 yards. Josh Allen to Stephon Diggs.
Bell stays in at running back. Twist by the Browns up front. Slant. Cut Kelce at the 10. 5. Angling left. Dodge into the end zone. Touchdown. Kansas City. Travis Kelce. His 7th postseason touchdown grab. That ties an all-time NFL record with Vernon Davis and Dave Casper. A brilliant catch and run by the best tight end in the league.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
First, the voice of John Murphy on the Bills radio network, and then Mitch Holtis on the Chiefs radio network. They will warm up the pipes for Sunday's AFC Championship taking place at Arrowhead. Only time in NFL history that a team has hosted 3 consecutive conference championship games. And these Kansas City Chiefs, they can be special. They go to a 2nd consecutive Super Bowl, have the opportunity to win it. I don't know that they will. I'm actually really interested in finding out if it's the 2 teams that had the byes that survived, because jury's still out with me. I'm still on the fence about whether or not it should be such a huge advantage for just one team to have a bye in each conference. But this is the experiment of the NFL this year with the new playoff format. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. These 2 quarterbacks obviously can use their legs to extend plays and to scramble. Certainly they can run. Now, Patrick Mahomes has got the issue with the toe. That's maybe going to hamper him or limit him a little bit coming up on Sunday. If he gets cleared through concussion protocol, right now he is on track. But it makes these 2 quarterbacks unique because they can hurt you a variety of ways. And Sean McDermott kind of likes that both these quarterbacks have that ability.
Some of these plays break down from time to time, even though we draw them up for that not to happen. Being able to extend a play or playoff schedule, that's been labeled to Josh and Patrick as well. So I think that's a good asset to have.
Earlier, Bruce Arians said that Aaron Rodgers can make something out of nothing. Well, you could say the same thing about Patrick Mahomes, and Josh Allen is developing that trait as well, where you trust them in the fire. You trust them when the play or the pocket is breaking down. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're asking you whether or not you have ever tried to bite another person's kneecap. Oh, no, I'm just kidding. That's not the poll. That's just me. I just put that out there on Twitter because I've never heard of such a thing. But maybe it's because I'm not a cool kid. I mean, it's totally fine. There's a lot of really amazing musical acts out there that I've never heard of either. So I'm one of the old dudes, but I do think old dudes rock. Now, what we're asking you is if you can only watch one of these championship games on Sunday, which one would it be? It's a doubleheader that starts with the NFC Championship at Lambeau Field, and then, of course, is followed by the AFC Championship. 855-212-4227. Don is listening in Florida. Welcome to After Hours. Don. Don is listening, but he's not talking in Florida. 855-212-4227. The idea of snow at Lambeau Field just floats my boat. I absolutely adore football in the snow. Well, I adore football. I adore snow. In fact, I'm one of those weird people who prays for snow. And I love it when the two come together. Every time I talk to Grammy Helen, which I will call her on Saturday, I ask her, do they have snow on the ground? What's your weather like? Because, you know, she's 98 and I'm old too. And so we like to talk about the weather. And so she is always telling me about the snow and if there's some on the ground or if they had any this week. And I just think it would be the perfect topper for football in the snow, the NFC Championship. After all these years that Lambeau has waited to host another conference game, it's been 13 years. So snow would be perfect. And Davante Adams ain't scared.
For me, it's just knowing, you know, having those reps in the snow, in the cold, you know, taking everything serious, because obviously, you know, I'm intentional about how I train. So just knowing the footing is going to be cold. So trying to get a good feel for how I'm moving it.
The atmosphere there is unbelievable. Just the way that the stadium's built, just the way that the fans are like right on top of you, like it's a football atmosphere. This is what it's all about, is going to Lambeau Field and playing a game of football.
The history of the place. I think they're great fans. It's always been a joy to go coach there just because of the history of the game. Like you said, we won some, we lost some, but Lambeau is one of the true iconic venues to play in.
Yes. Bruce Arians, Rob Gronkowski, they're excited about going to Lambeau. I know Tom Brady has said the same thing, with the top two teams doing battle in a place that most guys in the NFL love to go to play because of what it represents. Now, it's also a difficult place to play, and it doesn't get any easier with the 9,000 fans who Aaron Rodgers said sounded like 50,000 when he came out of the tunnel last week. So I'm excited that we've got these two stadiums. Normally raucous atmospheres, normally loud enough that you can't hear yourself think. That's not likely to be the case, though these fans have been generating noise. Arrowhead all year long, they've had limited fans. Remember, it was the kickoff on Thursday Night Football, and they were the very first game, very first stadium on display with fans. They can make a lot of noise, and you can tell the difference between the authentic crowd noise and the pumped-in crowd noise. So I think it will add something to this championship Sunday. Let's talk to Tony, who's in West Virginia. Welcome to After Hours.
Hey, good morning. Just quick score prediction for both games. If you look at the way that defense has played for Tampa Bay, I mean, it's really kind of carried them. They're kind of the unsung hero of that team. And, yeah, they pretty much dominated the last time they played Green Bay in the regular season. But that game kind of got away from Green Bay a little bit. They were leading for the majority of half of the game. I think it was 10-0 before Aaron Rodgers threw that pick six, and it kind of was like a landslide at that point. But yep. Brady didn't do I mean, he had a good, solid game, but he didn't have an outstanding game. He wasn't really required to do a whole lot.
Like the game against the Saints, right? I mean, he didn't have to do a whole lot because the defense did the yeoman share of the work.
Right, and yeah, I don't necessarily hold that against Brady because we know what he's capable of, but – yeah, I think it was more of a team thing. For this particular game, yeah, I think they're capable of beating Green Bay. They've already proven it. But this particular game, a hunch is telling me that Green Bay is going to find a way to.
A hunch.
You know,
I like that,
yeah,
Tony.
Just a hunch. Yeah, it's just gut feeling. I think Green Bay is going to find a way to win this game. I think they actually win it pretty handily. I don't know which team really runs away as being the better team. You know, I mean, if they play 10 times, I don't know how many times either team will win. But with it being playoffs in Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, I believe, in my opinion, has a little bit more pressure than Brady as far as what is at stake here. If he finds a way to beat Tom Brady in the playoffs, that's going to further solidify him on the Mount Rushmore's, you know, top five, top 10 quarterbacks of all time, which we already know that he is. But this would just be a nice feather in his cap, and I think he really does need to get a second Super Bowl at some point, you know, to
he needs to.
I mean, to me personally, I don't think that he needs another one. I think just winning one, the significance of winning one will be lost if we start counting Super Bowls. But I think as far as a lot of critics, a lot of outside opinions or things he's going to hear after he retires, I think winning a second Super Bowl would really go a long way for him. But
all right, well, let's get the NFC Championship first, and then we can worry about the Super Bowl.
Well, I mean, in my opinion, I think Green Bay is the team to beat this year.
Right.
And I think if they win this game, they're gonna beat whoever they play in the Super Bowl. And on to that, as far as the AFC Championship game, I think Kansas City is the better team with the right circumstances, the right situation. But this year, if you look at the second half of the season, how it kind of the last 4 weeks, offensively, they weren't really the team that they have been all year long, which – yeah, they're still winning games, so you can't hold that too far against them. But Buffalo's hot. We don't really know how healthy Patrick Mahomes really is. I mean, if he passes this concussion protocol, you know, he may be just fine. But physically, he has an issue with his foot. I mean, I see a rust factor. And I know he played some against the Browns. You know, I'm surprised the Browns weren't able to take advantage of the fact that he wasn't in the game and find a way to win.
Chad Henne. Chad Henne.
Yeah, I mean, and you obviously give him credit, but
uh-huh.
I think Buffalo is going to win this game.
Right.
I'll take Green Bay by 14, and I'll take Buffalo by 20.
Whoa. Okay, Tony in West Virginia. I hope you don't have money on that, because by 20 would be quite a spread. I don't think that's happening at Arrowhead. Now, I could be wrong. I this is why I suck at survivor pools, but wowzers, that would be eye-popping. 855-212-4227. Hey, Chad Henne, we've been thinking about you.
Come on, click, boom!
Here on After Hours, we end every show the same way.
Boom! I just laid down the A-law. Boom!
You know it. You love it. Now we're cranking it up a notch. After Hours presents the best highlights.
Foles running up and down the lines, a direct snap, and it goes to Clement, who gives it off to Burton, the tight end, who then throws in the end zone. Touchdown! Foles caught the ball!
Boom!
So we got a fly ball, center field deep. Bellinger going back. It's a grand slam! They're going in the Nationals dugout. Howie Kendrick with a grand slam here in the 10th inning of Game 5. Do you believe it?
It's the boom moment of the week. Here's Amy Lawrence. Boom.
Ball will be snapped in the center of the field, and Henne wants to throw it. Henne's scrambling and comes to the near side. He's at the 40, 45, 50. Henne dies. He's close to a first down at the 49-yard line. Really, really close. Chad Henne jumps up and waves his arm toward the stands. They snap it. They're going for it. They flood it right. Caught. Tyreek Hill stays in bounds. The same play that they closed the game out against New Orleans. They do it to Cleveland. And Chad Henne out of the bullpen. And they find Tyreek Hill on the right flat. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to advance in the AFC playoffs.
I just think just my personality. I'm always a competitor. And throughout the years, you know, if it, you know, went my way or didn't go my way, I just felt like I loved the game still. Loved being around the locker room. And especially coming here just enlightened me.
Chad freaking Henne. Seriously. The first time I saw Boomer Esiason, who works at the studio next door, following the games last weekend, that's what I said to him. Chad freaking Henne. But that's what I love about playoffs, whether it's football, basketball, baseball, there's always someone who comes up with a career moment and you never expected it. From the category of you cannot make this stuff up, our boom moment of the week. Now, he wasn't your choice for TD of the week or Monday MVP, but we've given him the boom moment of the week. Mitch Holtis with the calls on the Chiefs radio network. Right now, we've got the poll up, and it's pretty close. So I think the more of you at this point are saying if you could only watch one game over the weekend, it would be Bucks and Packers at Lambeau Field in the NFC Championship. Also, Producer Dave, I told you that I put a tweet out there just to kind of take the temperature of the audience and find out if anyone has ever tried to bite another person's kneecap. Now, just keeping it sports, can you guess the two sports figures that I've either gotten memes or GIFs or responses about to my tweet?
Who is Mike Tyson?
Ears taste like chicken, which I don't know if that's true. I'll never find out. But yes, I just got that GIF. And?
That's all I got.
How about ice skating?
Oh, Tonya Harding?
Tonya Harding.
Yeah.
Yes, Jeffrey so came nice. Back with some Tonya Harding, though I don't think she bit anyone's kneecap. But still, leave it to Twitter to come back with that. So, yes, if you've ever tried to bite another person's kneecap, I don't actually think I want to know you. That's a little bit too much like the Italian mafia. This is going to be a great weekend. I've got movie night tonight. I'm going James Bond Skyfall, baby. It's my third of the Daniel Craig movies. Excited about championship football. We'll be back here Sunday night to talk all about it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.